both spiritual and material. And we pray that as we give all these gifts unto Thee, help us to give ourselves entirely for Thy use. And this we give as an expression of our love to Thee. For we know that we cannot love Thee enough, so help us to love Thee more and more each day. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee also for healing Dr. To in time for him to come forth to bring forth Thy word and to share his testimony. And we pray that Thy Holy Spirit will touch every heart this evening and help us to draw nigh to Thee, and realizing that Thou hast loved us so much that we may love Thee in return. We give Thee praise and thanks through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This evening we are very glad that the Lord has enabled Dr. To, strength sufficient to come forth to the pulpit to speak forth the word of God. So, Dr. To, please.
The Lord is good. When I woke up this morning, I thought I could not come to serve the Lord because of a terrible backache. A backache that was so bad I could hardly move. Well, as you've heard Brother Boon Yan Leong say, the Lord has healed me. The Lord is good. Now this evening I'm going to share with you again storytelling time. Events in life. There is a Chinese saying that in life there are two major events, red and white events. You understand what I'm saying? Red are the happy events, white are the sad ones. And I'm going to use the life of Isaac, how God chose him a bride. A wife that was matchmade. How many of us here had your marriage matched by someone else? Someone, maybe parents, maybe friend. Matchmaking today is not very fashionable. Most people go out and do their own searching. Sometimes right, sometimes wrong. And I want to share with you the life of Isaac. Remember that when Abraham had Isaac, he was about 100 years old. And Sarah was 90. Now, if you would please turn to the book of Genesis, it is quite an interesting story. And I believe we can all learn something very useful from this real life account. Are you ready? Please turn to the Word of God in Genesis chapter 23. Genesis chapter 23. Verse 1 of Genesis 23, and Sarah was 120 years old. How old then was Isaac? A bit of simple arithmetic will tell you that he was 37. Since Sarah had Isaac at 90, and now she is 127, so the son must be 37. Very eligible bachelor, right? Of course. Because Abraham was a great chief, a chieftain, a kind of a headman of the community. And we know that Abraham was very rich. So here is his son and heir. Not married. Verse 2. And Sarah died. The same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. What a tender scene, isn't it? Abraham, 137, coming to weep for Sarah, 127. We know that Abraham was a very godly man, and how he loved Sarah. Do you love your wife as Abraham loved Sarah? It is a virtue and a gift of God that we adhere to one life partner, one only. Now this kind of commitment today is not too common. They say in America they change wives like cars. Every 4 years need a change. That's not very good. But I want to say this, dear friends, God has a plan for all of us. And His plan is the best. Once enough. And stick to one from A to Z, beginning to end, just one. One to one. And once you have made the choice, stick to it. You may take all the years you want to make the choice, you know. Like Isaac was 40 years old when he took a bride. You can wait. Open your eyes. Make your choice. Inquire. Study. Investigate. Who is the one for your life partnership? Study. Take your time. But once you make up your mind and get hitched, that's it. It is so important that in the church, we who have the gospel, we who have the truth of God, understand this principle. For therein is the secret to peace, contentment, happiness, fulfillment in the home, one to one. And this is very important that we teach our young people. Show them by example and precept. Show them that it works. Let not the Hollywood culture come in and spoil the home. You know, when I grew up, father and mother were absolutely attached. Mother was totally committed, submissive, obedient. Maybe in today's viewpoint, too submissive. Do you think so? I don't think so. I think it was good. So in father's generation, father came from a family of 7 siblings. No divorce. None. Then comes to my generation, 8. No divorce. Now the next one, and those among our cousins and families, plenty of divorce. There is change. There is a downgrade. There is a cheapening of the marital bond. Very sad. But we are living in a sinful society today. A generation where that sanctity of the home, of marriage, of the partnership of one man to one wife is no longer cherished. Not something that young people grow up and aspire and pray for and work for. And once you attain it, that's it. Here is Isaac, 37, bachelor. What is going to happen to him? Chapter 24. Abraham was old, well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And of course he thought, my son, the son of promise, the son that gave him a future in the hope and the covenant that God has given in this son. That's him, Isaac. Abraham was concerned. So he woke up one day and said, I better get on with it. In case I go, and what will happen to my son? Verse 2, Abraham said to the elder servant of his house, he's like the manager. When you say servant, he is the man who looks after the household affairs. The one that ruled over all that he had. And he said, put your hand under my thigh. This is the old-fashioned tradition in those days when you undertake a solemn oath to do something for another person. Just put your hand under my thighs. And that is very important, very solemn. Never you go back and never forget what you are doing today. Verse 3. I will make you swear by the Lord, God of heaven, God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. Remember, God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, that is today's Iraq. Abraham, follow me to a land you've never seen. And here he is, Canaan. But the people of Canaan were extremely evil, pagan, idol worshippers. So the time came and Abraham said to his manager of the house, I want you to do something for me. You are entrusted with this important task to look for a bride for my son. And the first requirement is not among the girls that are in the community here, the Canaanites. Verse 4, thou shalt go unto my country, my kindred, and take a wife unto my son, Isaac. So it is. Today we have God's instruction very clear. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Today this is not taught. And the culture is, whoever seems good, that's it. Good looking, good profession, good prospects. Why worry about faith and religion? This is the fatal mistake. And I say so many young people fall into that trap and live to regret ever afterwards. Verse 9. The servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning the matter. Yes, master, as you say, I will do. I will go to your home country, there do what you have instructed me to do. Verse 10, and the servant took 10 camels of the master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand under his management. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, under the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city, that is outside the city, by a well of water at the time of the evening, the time that women go out to draw water. Remember, that country is a country of scarce rainfall. And therefore, a lot of time you got to depend on well water. This is it. No taps, of course, in those days. No pipes. Verse 12. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. And this servant of Abraham began to think to himself, how shall I know which is the lady for my master's son? And God gave him that wisdom to lay down a certain condition, a criterion, to identify the one who should be the master's son's wife. I would say this, dear friends, this servant of Abraham was a godly man, and God gave to him that understanding to say what he was going to say to the Lord, to pray to the Lord. Please understand, dear friends, in a matter of choosing a life partner, God is concerned. Inasmuch as he is very concerned with your salvation, that you should come to trust in the Lord Jesus for salvation, the same Savior who died for you is also concerned about whom you marry. I say this is a very vital, primary understanding we all ought to have, and not assume and take things into our own hands and say, I know best. I say, you do not know best. For whenever we acknowledge God, trust not unto thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This is the promise. Do you pray? All you eligible young people, please pray. Lord, I am looking for someone. In the normal course of events, this is what God intends for all of us, a life partner. Tell the Lord your need. Commit your way to the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. Do you have that faith? I say, the problem is people do not have that faith, and they think they know better than God. How sad. You don't. You really don't know better than God. For God knows the heart. God knows the future. God knows who is the best for you. So here this man begins to pray to the Lord. Verse 13. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Now here is the condition. God gave him that intelligence to place to God this condition. What condition? Verse 14. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down your pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels also. Let that same damsel be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant. What a wonderful condition. I say, thank God. Do you have also a condition for God to find you your life partner? I say, if you have that faith and pray, surely God will answer that prayer. Pray in faith and be patient. And say, Lord, you know who it should be. I commit my future to you. Please show me. And here, God began to work in the life of Isaac. Verse 15. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, even as he had finished praying, there came along Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother. Wow! How about that? Did the servant know this? Of course not. But I say God knows. God heard and God answered. That the damsel who should come at that very moment was prepared by God. Those of you who have been through this present footprints on the sands of time by now would have heard of many stories which are similar to this. It's not by chance how that Japanese officer with the German shepherd appeared at the Batuk Mahat, and a week later appeared in Bras Basah Road, the same man. And he goes and takes us to his headquarters and supplies us 2 brand new Japanese army trucks. By chance? Did Rebecca come there by chance? There could have been other women, other damsels, other people coming. But when you put your faith in the Lord and say, Lord, please, let it be the one who appears and does exactly what I say he should do. Let that person be it. God answered. Isn't that amazing? Do you doubt God? Do you know what God can do? God can do extremely marvelous, amazing things beyond what you ask or think. Do you believe that? So, verse 16. And the damsel was very pretty. Virgin, neither had any man known her. She went down to the well, filled the pitcher, came up, and the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. This is the condition. This is what the servant was saying. If someone comes and I tell her to do this, and if she readily says, drink, and then not only men drink, also animal drink. That is a condition. Now God is working. Let's see. Verse 18, and she said, Drink, my Lord. And she hasted and let down the pitcher. Verse 19, and when she had given him drink, she said, I will also draw water for your camels. Amazing. Exactly as he had laid down that condition, God sent Rebecca and caused her to say exactly what the servant had laid down as a condition to know this is the one, this is it. No mistake. You know, our God makes no mistakes. He knows your need and he fulfills it to the very finest point. Do you trust him? Therefore. So, verse 20, and she hasted and emptied the pitcher into the trough and ran again to draw water and drew for all his camels. Verse 22, and it came to pass as the camels had finished drinking, the man took a golden earring, half a shekel, 2 bracelets for the hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, Whose daughter are you? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in your father's house for us to lodge tonight? Surely in those days there were no motels. So it is a common thing that we offer hospitality to travelers. And this is it. Verse 24, and she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, which she bare to Nahor. She said, We have both straw and food and room. Verse 26, and the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth, I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them to her mother's house these things. Amen. Remember this story. But don't just remember. Apply it to your life. Not just to get a life partner, but I say, a business partner. How about that? You want to go into business? You look for a partner? Also pray. In all that you do, whatsoever things you do, do it with prayer and with faith and see if God will not prosper your ways. When I began practice 36 years ago to found the Toyin Clinic, of which I'm going to leave in 2 months' time. You think 36 years enough? I prayed, and God sent me 4 Christian partners. It's like a marriage. You pray and trust in the Lord and see if He will not answer that prayer. We were brought up in a very strict Presbyterian family. Great-grandfather, grandfather, father, uncles, aunties, all of us were in the Presbyterian church. In those days, there was no need to have Bible Presbyterian, because all the Presbyterians were Bible Presbyterians. So you don't have to call them Bible Presbyterians. All were believers. All were old-fashioned. Today is different. And in that environment, we grew up. You are a child of God. You ought to look for another child of God and keep to one. And so be it through life. 1943, I was 17. I didn't wait like Isaac till he was 37. I think more impatient maybe. However, 1943, Japanese were here. And in those days, I lived in Patupahat. I hope you have done a bit of geography to study where that wonderful town is. Do you know where it is? So there we lived. Father had a clinic together with sister. And I was the what do you call the thumbi? The boy who does all the odd jobs, that's me. Father had a friend who lived in Johor Bahru. And he came to visit. And because of various events, I had to run errands to his friend in Johor Bahru. And there came to find a young lady, his daughter. So they developed a friendship. 1943, 44, whenever I had to travel to Johor Bahru or Singapore, I'd drop in and begin to visit and to cultivate. 44, 45, 46, back to school. Those years were Japanese years, you know. Everybody was studying Nippongo. So God answered the prayer, Nippon, really go. By 1945, they went away. Thank God, because we were all waiting to go back to school. Can you imagine it? When the Japanese came, I was in the second last year of school, waiting to go to the last year called Senior Cambridge. Today you call it O-level. Waiting, thinking, well, January come, I'll be in Senior Cambridge. January came and the Japanese were in charge. So for 4 years, no studies. 1947, I went to medical school. And this young lady went back to Methodist girls' school. So we continued to be friendly. And we thought, well, I thought, she was it. Until towards the end of the year, I got a letter. Wow, always excited about letters. Open up. Please, let's call it off. Please don't see me or call me. It's all over. If there is anything called disappointment, that was it. My whole world collapsed. This was my first ever friend. And I thought that must be the person. But no, she says, nope. I tell you, it was a blow that caused me to be shaken. That's why I call the title of tonight's talk, Jilted. That is the first step, jilted. You know the meaning of it? Somebody says, I don't want you. Then jolted. Well, my whole life shook. I didn't know what was happening. I was in medical school. So every day I went around dazed. You know what that means? You know, when these things happen, there are three reactions. Either you are dazed. Some people resort to violence. They're going to find out who is the other man or the other boy. And thirdly, they end their own lives. Happens. Regularly. Thank God it was only the first one. Jolted. Dazed. My second brother, the one who is above me, one day he says, Xiang Hua, why are you looking so down? You think that girl is the only girl in the world? God will send you a better one. I woke up and I said, yeah, that's right. I want to show you also my father's teaching. It's all in Chinese, of course. Father always taught us to have zhiqi, resolve, know what you want, and adhere to a purpose in life, and work for it with determination and resolve. Don't let things shake you just because the girl doesn't like you anymore. Don't think it is the end of the world, neither is she the only girl left in the world. There must be resolve. And I want to leave this with all of you here. And whatever we do, let that be a resolve. See clearly your objective and set your heart and mind to do it with God's help, the best help. You will succeed. So Father always taught us, not that he knew my business, I didn't tell him. But Father always taught us, you children, learn to have zhiqi. Right? And he also taught us something very wonderful. Zhipan Baiyi. Hezhou Wujianren. You know what that means? I have translated this literal English. Only fear no white jade. Are you a white jade? If you're a white jade, no worry. No good mate. No worry. The most important thing is you make sure you are a person of character. A person who has a fixed objective in life. Not wishy-washy, this way, that way. What girl is going to look for such a person? True? So, Father always told us, only fear no white jade. You are the white jade? No? If you're not white jade, who wants you? Why worry, no good men? Hezhou Wujianren. Please understand this little proverb. Father taught me this 70 years ago. Never forget. Because, you know why? Father's teaching is very powerful. Once he says so, it is so. So, with brother and father, I woke up. I said, that's right. 自弃. Why worry because girlfriend don't want you? You still have many more friends. Most important is know what you want. So I said to myself, I don't know, I knew who the other boy was. Why did she give me up? She had advice. She had advisors. He said, you are Seventh-day Adventist. He is Presbyterian. You cannot marry Presbyterian. There'll be problem. True? Very true. We had in our church, one of our elders was Bible Presbyterian. And he happened to be married to a Seventh-day Adventist. The children did not know what to do. To please both, Saturday go to Seventh-day Adventist church. Sunday comes to Life Church. Oh, back and forth. It is confusion and division in the family. So mother was praying. I have no doubt mother prayed. Prayed that God will lead and intervene in my life. And it happened. Now, I said there are three options. Either you get dazed, or you go after the other band and make violence, or you end your life. After I was dazed, and my brother telling me, don't be so silly, I said to myself, truly, let me have that thing called 自弃. The determination and resolve to say, let me show that other boy that I can do something. True? It provoked me. So I studied like nobody's business study. I say, Shakespeare says, sweet are the uses of adversity. God sends you something that is a great disappointment. At least you think at that time it's disappointment. Afterwards you don't, you know. Afterwards, you say, ah, lucky escape. True? Yes. So I said, I will study and show her and him that you have 自弃. Yeah. And make yourself the 白玉, white jade. You got to work hard to become like the white jade. So study lah, study, every day study. Work hard. Don't be afraid because hard work never kills, you know. So work hard. Thank God. End of the year, exams came, and God gave me the top position in the class with a scholarship and two distinctions. I said, the Lord is good. I dare say, except she provoked me, I would not have studied so hard. So sometimes you thank God for provocation, for disappointment. Don't go and end your life because somebody doesn't want you. How silly that is. But if somebody doesn't want you, you show that you can overcome. I say this to all our young people. God has great things for you if you will trust in Him. And He can use you for His own plan and purpose. Now, epilogue. You know what is the epilogue? The story that follows the story. This young lady, of course, grew to be an old lady. Except she's 4 years younger. One day, I was in KK Hospital. At that time, head of department. And I was giving lectures to the public on growing old gracefully. Teaching all the young ladies how to grow into old ladies. And there in the audience, she appeared. Wow. To hear from me how to grow old gracefully. We were friends. Good friends. She brought the husband and we all were good friends. Today I hear from the husband. They live in America and she is dying of a degenerative condition. My wife said to me, lucky escape. The Lord knows best. I say, whether you die this way or die that way, we all die. But the most important thing is that you die in the Lord and live in the Lord and live for the Lord. So I say, this concludes today's footprints. Jilted, jolted, but when it comes to the end, it says, jubilant. The Lord is good. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I pray for some young person, even older people, who have projects, plans to do things. Grant us wisdom to know what we ought to do, how to make choices, how to pray even as the servant of Abraham, to say, Lord, if this is your will, let it be so. Show us clearly that Thou art interested, concerned, and able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now I want to introduce to you